Good morning, everyone. My name is Thibaut Schaeffer. I'm an engineer at Provenance. So we're a software company. Maybe some of you heard of us already. We're based in London, the UK. And basically, to sum it up, the vision behind Provenance is that every great product should come with provenance. And what that means is towards trustworthy information and accessible information about the origin and the journey and the impact of that product. And basically, the way that we deliver on this vision is that we provide a platform for businesses to be more transparent and share data across the supply chain and as well as with consumers. So that's both an access for businesses to share, but also a consumer app that consumer can access to learn more about the supply chain and the great products that are being made. So one aspect of this platform has to do with storytelling, because we believe that just disclosing how you make your products and the craft that's put into them is already a good going the right direction in terms of transparency. But obviously, what I'm going to be presenting today is more of the verifiable aspects of what the platform allows. So we almost everything we do at Provenance around that is linked to the concept of verifiable claim. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with the concept of an identity framework. So there's been a few presentations at DEF CON already on that, and there are many initiatives going on. The concept that individuals could control their identity, and once they control their identity, make claims about themselves, and then have those claims being verified by third parties or different verification methods. So for example, you could want to prove that you are over a certain age to access a particular service, and then you can have that verified by, let's say, a bank or a peer kind of peer-to-peer verification method. The important point here is that a claim and a verification are two different things, and that in what we do, we try to keep the verification method as generic as possible so that people can integrate their own verification methods with the system. And as you can see, what we're trying to do is taking this concept of verifiable claims on individuals and bring that to the supply chain. That means to businesses and their products. So first, let's look at businesses. What type of claims could a business make? So one example that you could have is that as a business, you want to claim that you're independent or that you're family owned. And in this case, the way to verify that could be, for example, to link to your business registration that's exposed by the government, especially in the UK. There's Companies House that exposes this information. And that can act as a verification that you are, for example, not owned by another bigger company. You could have other verification methods that could be linked, that could be based on consumers vetting for the businesses that they know. In the same kind of way that TripAdvisor or Yelp functions. Of course, not all verification methods are equal, and they provide different levels of trust and different levels of confidence on the veracity of the claim. Another type of claim that's really common in supply chains is that of certification. And in this field, what we did is working with the SOA Association, which is the biggest organic certifier in the UK, and working with them to bring their certification to the digital age. So what does that mean? I think we need a bit of context around what a certification process looks like today for a sustainability certification. So basically, as a business, if you want to be certified organic, you're going to apply for a certification. Obviously pay a fee, which can be quite expensive sometimes for small businesses. Then you're going to be audited by an independent auditor. And if all goes well, you're going to be awarded a certification. What that means in terms of data is that it's just another record in the Solar Association database that keeps track of all certifications. And the way, as a business, you're going to be able to prove that is through a PDF that is sent to you, so basically a certificate of organic. So when you're going to be transacting with your business partners and you need to prove to them that you're certified organic, you end up moving back and forth PDFs in a supply chain. From the point of view of the consumer, the interaction that the consumer would have with a sustainability certification most of the time is either through just a logo on pack, or it's going to be a static JPEG on a website, for example. So that's where we saw some opportunities to make that better and make it more interactive and interoperable. So what we did is connecting the Solar Association certification database to the Ethereum blockchain, so that directly on the Ethereum blockchain, you could check the status of any certification for any licensee of the Solar Association, creating a kind of a digital version of that certification. The outcome of this project was that we created material both for point of sale, so in the form of connected labels that you that consumers can scan either by NFC or QR codes, and we're very excited that NFC is now being supported by the new version of iOS, so that consumers can access directly to this information at the point of sale. And when it comes to digital space, we created embeds that brands that were certified organic can integrate in their online store so that consumers, again, can access and verify the status of the certification. On top of that, the fact that we provided those tools to kind of augment the certification allowed to raise awareness on what the certification actually means and what it stands for. Because we believe that just a logo on pack is not enough to convey what the audit process was and what actually the compliance looks like. So moving from businesses, what we're trying to do is also to have verifiable claims on products. So when you think about a product, one verifiable claim that you could have is, for example, that it's free of a particular allergen. And a way to verify that could be either by normal audits, but also increasingly, and it's getting cheaper through things like DNA testing that we're also looking at. But in this context, we saw that a very useful tool to prove claims about products was that of a tracking system along the supply chain. That's why we developed a way to track assets along the supply chain and tested that in different pilots. So maybe someone in the room saw our piece on tuna supply chain. We basically studied sustainable tuna supply chain over in Indonesia. And basically, the setup was that there was a certification over in Indonesia according to sustainability practices that was certifying specific fishermen that could that could produce tuna that was certified. So that was going great, but the problem with this was that when looking at the supply chain, there was way more fish being sold at the end of supply chain with the certification than there was certifications being issued at the start. So basically, what we were trying to solve with in this particular project was the double spending of sustainability certification claims on tuna. So what we built for that was an interface for fishermen to register their catch via a batch of tuna using SMS services, because in the environment we were operating in, there was even no smartphone to use, so it had to go through SMS. Those catches would be linked to the certification that the fishermen had been awarded before. And then they were able to transfer ownership of this of these batches down the supply chain. And at each step, a transfer would be a handshake between this sender and the receiver, agreeing on the details about the fish. So that can be the size of the batch, can be the certification itself, and so on. Another project that we did in supply chains was with Co-op, which is the fifth biggest supermarket chain over in the UK. And for that, we extended our system, our tracking system, to support more features, such as supporting different units using IPFS, metadata on the assets, more data on the assets, as well as batching, splitting of batches, transformation from one asset to another to allow for more flexibility in supply chains. So what we did with Co-op is, and what is interesting in comparison with the previous example, is that we were focusing on claims of proof of origin. So we were trying to prove that some products that were sold by Co-op were actually made in the UK. So that was the claim we were going for. And for that, we went in Co-op supply chain, and obviously it was it has some degree of digitization. So compared to the previous one where it was just normal phones, they have ERPs, they have systems in supply chain. So kind of the challenge and the learnings that we had through this experience is how to integrate with those systems. And the result of that was that we created an interface for consumers to access the journey of those products. So in this case, it was about flowers, but we also considered other products. And we integrated that into the Co-op consumer app so that a consumer can directly discover this and explore the journey of the products that were being sold. So the next question that we asked was how we can incentivize good behavior in this system, because I'm sure most of you recognize that it's not a completely trustless system, and there can be breaches and unhonest players. And what we recognize is that linking this infrastructure for trust with the incentives of supply chain, especially financial incentives, could be a way to incentivize good behavior. So kind of the MVP version of that that we developed recently was in the frame of a collaboration that we did with a Dutch NGO called Fairfood. So in this case, we were focusing on coconut supply chains in Indonesia, so again, Indonesia. And the claim that we were trying to prove was the fair payment to the farmer at the first stage of the chain. So I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of fair trade, but in this case, we're trying to do it in a completely real-time way and prove on chain. So the way it happened is that we provided, again, an interface through SMS services because, again, people didn't have access to smartphones where we were operating, and we were enabling farmers to register the coconuts that they had harvested as a batch. And then some of the handshakes in the supply chain needed a proof of payment to actually happen. And the way that happened in practice is that whenever the next actor in the chain, so that was the trader that came just after the farmer that harvested, requested ownership of a particular asset, the farmer would get an SMS asking them if they got a particular amount that they were supposed to have got, because it's supposed to be basically an exchange. And depending on the answer that the farmer would provide to this question, the transfer would complete or be rejected. So in terms of the amount that was in this message, the amount was determined by Fairfood, which was this NGO, based on a standard of living income. So it depended on different parameters, including the size of the batch of coconuts, obviously. And what was quite interesting in this case is that we were trying to see if we could have some impact on the supply chain itself. And actually, among the set of farmers that we considered, a few of them actually answered no to the question from the SMS. And when we investigated, it appeared that some of the farmers were actually only being paid a small deposit on their harvest. And actually, the fact that the system was in place and that the transfer couldn't be completed led to the actual payment to be made in full. So it was a first sign that we can have an impact on how supply chains operate. So obviously that's still kind of a first iteration on how we could connect this set of claims to incentives and supply chains. And what we are starting to also look at now as a next iteration of that is how we can connect our system with trade finance and insurance so that as a business, any transparency and claims that you make that make your product more transparent should be rewarded in terms of better access to capital or cheaper access to insurance and so on. So we're going to be starting some projects on that, and we'll sure have some announcement to make on that soon. That was pretty much what we've been doing in the past month, and please reach out to me. Thank you very much for your attention.